Welcome to the Thinking English Podcast. My name is Meredith Spielman. I'm an online English teacher, and this podcast is for intermediate-ish students. So if you are kind of an upper-level beginner, almost intermediate English learner, any kind of intermediate or even advanced student, really this podcast is for you. This podcast is going to be about comprehensible input. So that is listening, basically just listening to as much English as you possibly can so that the language absorbs into your brain and improves your listening and your speaking skills. I decided to make a podcast because, as I mentioned, I'm an English teacher, and I think the thing that's been most valuable to my experience as an English teacher has been my own journey as a language learner. I also speak a C1 level Spanish, and I started learning when I was an adult. And so I really have that experience very fresh in my mind about what it was like to learn a new language. And I think, in my opinion, and maybe according to other people as well, not to be too much of a bragger, I think that I learned Spanish relatively quickly and efficiently. And I think that's because before I started learning Spanish, I spent a lot of time doing research about language learning and language acquisition in itself. So when I was ready to start learning Spanish, I had a certain approach to it, which for me was all about learning the language as quickly and efficiently as possible, about not wasting time doing things that wouldn't really advance my Spanish level. Anyways, my point that I was trying to make is that while learning Spanish, I think the thing that helped me advance the most was listening to podcasts in Spanish. Not podcasts about Spanish grammar, but just podcasts in Spanish. I typically used podcasts that are designed for learners because people speak, I don't know, differently in a way that was useful for me. Many of the podcasts I listened to, what I really liked about them was the way that the teachers or the speakers would sort of repeat themselves. And that helped me to hear certain vocabulary and phrases more than once in the right context in order to understand what it means and so that it would stick in my memory and I would be able to use those things later. When you listen to podcasts in a language that you're learning, it's like something happens subconsciously. You spend this time listening and listening and listening and absorbing the rhythm and the sound of the language. And even if you do it in a passive way, without taking notes, without trying to repeat or memorize or shadow or any of that, when you listen to podcasts, the language is going into your brain. And then later, when you're having a conversation in that language, somehow new words and phrases and expressions will just come out. And you think, huh, where did I learn that? And you learned it from a podcast. You learned it from listening to podcasts. So ultimately, I think that in order to improve in a language, one of the most valuable tools is exposure to that language. And I think that podcasts are sort of the perfect tool for that because it's purely listening. It's something that you can do at any time. You can pop in your headphones and listen to a podcast while you're taking a walk, while you're washing the dishes, while you're doing your laundry, going for a run in the gym. You can put it on the radio and listen in your car while you're driving. And so it's something that you can do, honestly, for hours every day. And if not every day, then at least a couple of hours every week. So I think that for me, listening to podcasts was the thing that helped to advance my Spanish the most and so quickly. And so I really recommend it for anyone who is learning a language. That's why I decided to make this podcast for students of English. My plan for this podcast is just to talk to you guys. My plan is that I want to be able to take out my phone or my laptop, and anytime I have a moment, I just want to speak to you guys. So that way, when you listen to this podcast, you can just imagine that you are walking down the street or sitting in a park or a cafe with your English-speaking friend and having a conversation in English. This will get you used to hearing the natural, normal way that we native speakers speak. All right, so what the hell is this podcast supposed to be about? I hear you asking yourself. Well, as I said, I kind of want it to be like a relaxed sort of thing, like you're just having a chat with your English-speaking friend and just a normal conversation, right? So I guess that means I'll just kind of talk about whatever comes to mind. I like to watch a lot of educational YouTube videos and stuff, so maybe I'll talk about something interesting I learned or something related to language learning. I guess it just depends, but you can probably expect a different topic from every episode. I don't want to focus too much on language learning because I think in this sphere, we end up talking about that a lot, and I want to make sure that people who are listening to this podcast are exposed to different kinds of vocabulary. So you can probably expect a different topic from every episode. So if you're finding this podcast now, please subscribe on whatever app you're using to listen to podcasts. You can also subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/thinkingenglish. I also have a newsletter. I highly recommend you subscribe to my newsletter because once a month you will receive notifications on everything I'm up to, which will include YouTube videos, podcasts, and lots of free educational English materials for you to learn English in context. But since this is the first episode, I suppose I'll just talk a little bit about myself and about language learning. So, who am I? My name is Meredith, like I said. I am 28 years old. I'm recording this in February 2023, so I will be turning 29 in April. Ooh, cool, I'm almost 30. Sometimes I get the comment that people think that I'm younger than I am, which is cool, I guess. But even for being only 28, because I mean, I still consider that young, to be honest, I feel like I've had a lot of life experience and done a lot of stuff. So somehow I feel older than that still, but in a good way, right? That's kind of an interesting topic about aging. I feel like so many people, every birthday, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so old now. And like, not really, you know? A lot of the people I admire most, like people who I find on the internet, you know, artists or writers or people who do stuff that I look up to and who I think are cool. A lot of them are a lot older than me. So I think, oh, you know, it's not a big deal to get older. Also, the older I get, the more I know myself. And the more I know myself, the more I do stuff I like and have a cooler life because of that, right? Anyways, I went off on a tangent a little bit, but I'm not gonna try to stop myself from going off on tangents because the point of this podcast is just for me to talk and for you guys to listen to improve your English. So if some random topic comes to my mind, I will expand upon it. So, anyways, I'm 28. I'll be turning 29 soon. I think that's still really young because we have so much life ahead of us still. As I said, I feel like I've done a lot of stuff. So, what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, I have moved to another country. And a lot of people ask me, why did you move to Mexico? And the answer to that is a great segue into my backstory, if you will. So, my superhero backstory and the reason why I moved to Mexico, I guess you could say, is that I have known ever since I was a kid that I wanted to live in another country. I've just been always very obsessed with other cultures and languages, kind of like all my life. Even when I was very young, I would find books in the library about other cultures. Yeah, I mean, I specifically remember that. I used to walk to the library when I got out of school when I was a kid, and I would always go directly to like world culture section and just like pick a random country and pull a book out and like flip through and see the pictures and kind of read little facts and tidbits about other countries. So I've always loved other countries and other cultures. And so that's why when I was 14 and I met my friend Larissa, who's coming to visit me next month, she's German and lives in Germany.
I met her in the United States when she was here, well, when she was there in the United States doing foreign exchange. And immediately I was like, oh, wow, cool. That's so cool. You're from another country. What's it like? Blah, 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 blah. And we became friends. And she eventually invited me to come stay with her in Germany. And it was like, yeah, yeah. So at 15 years old is the first time I left the United States. And I stayed with her and her family in Germany for 3 months. And we went on vacation also to a couple of other countries in Europe. And the experience for me was actually even better than I thought it was going to be. Like, I loved Europe even more than I thought I would. And so I've just known from the time I was 15 years old, like with certainty, that I was going to live in another country someday. And for a long time, I always thought that would be Europe because that's the first place I knew outside of the United States, and I really loved it. And I still really love Europe. I haven't been since 2018. So I feel like I need to go again to kind of refresh my memory, you know, but I've always loved Europe and I always thought I would end up living there. So I tried learning German for a while. I tried learning French for a while. And for some reason for me, those languages really didn't stick. Like, I really never made it very far. And I'm from Georgia in the United States. And my backstory is that I lived in Georgia almost all my life. Like, I didn't move away from Georgia till I was 26. And so I was living in Georgia, and as I said, I kind of had this dream. I was like, one day I'm going to move to another country. One day I'm going to move to another country. And I was trying to learn German. I was trying to learn French. And those languages just didn't click for me. But in Georgia, there's a huge population of Spanish speakers. So Spanish was kind of like the logical choice. You know, it would have made more sense for me to learn Spanish. I was like, no, I don't want to live in a Spanish-speaking country. I want to live in Germany or something, right? So that's why I didn't ever try to learn Spanish. I was trying to learn these other languages, but it just wasn't working for me. And really, my love of languages is what got me kind of to give in, I guess you could say, and learn Spanish. I was like, you know what? These other languages aren't working for me. And like, languages are cool no matter which one it is. Even if I don't want to live in a Spanish-speaking country, I'm going to start learning Spanish now because I think, I don't know, somehow I knew it would click for me more. I just had that feeling. And it was true. Like, I started learning Spanish and it was like night and day. Night and day. That's a great expression. That means like to say that something is completely different from the other thing. So if you describe one thing and another thing and you say that it was like night and day, that means they were very different. So my experience learning Spanish was like night and day compared to my experience learning German. In German, it just felt like I was like studying and studying and studying and never really like getting there. But I started learning Spanish and it was just like, boom, you know, I was like, it just felt easy. Like, I'm not saying learning a language is easy. Of course, it's always hard. But compared with my experience trying to learn German, and then also when I was younger, I tried to learn Japanese, compared to all of my other language learning experience combined, learning Spanish somehow just, compared to that, learning Spanish felt easy. So I started learning Spanish. I was still living in Georgia. Started learning kind of on my own. So I knew I would start using italki because I already knew that italki existed. I already had watched a lot of videos about language learning theory, which I think I mentioned kind of in the intro of this. Like, I watched a lot of TED Talks about kind of what approach we should take to learning a second language. And so I already knew that speaking with native speakers as soon as possible was one of the most important things. So I already knew that I would do that and that I would do it with italki because I already knew italki and had used it a little bit before. But before I started doing that, I spent about 2 or 3 months roughly teaching myself to get to the point where I could have at least a very basic conversation. So using some different books like beginner Spanish books and studying a list of vocabulary of the most common words, and starting to listen to some very basic podcasts and things like that, I kind of got myself up to an A1 or A2 level, and then I could start taking lessons. And so I started taking lessons on italki, and my Spanish teacher was super great. Shout out to Luis. He's from Mexico City. And yeah, I just took a lot of Spanish classes with him. I was just improving and getting better and better in Spanish, and he does kind of like a cultural focus through his lessons. So we were spending a lot of time talking about Mexican culture, and I was like, wow, you know, this is really cool. There's so much about Mexico I really didn't know. And so then at the end of 2020, I came to visit Mexico for the first time. I started off in Quintana Roo, which is the state which has the city of Cancun. And then from there, I went to Yucatan. The city is called Mérida. And then I was really like, I liked it, right? But I don't tolerate the heat very well. I was really like kind of suffering from how hot it was in that region. And so I was texting with Luis and he was like, oh, you should come to Mexico City. So I came here to Mexico City and got an Airbnb and like spent, I think 6 days here in Mexico City, hanging out with Luis when he wasn't, you know, busy teaching. And we went and saw like, you know, the main sights. And while I was here, I just realized, I was like, I could see myself living here. You know, as I said, I hadn't really somehow considered a Spanish speaking country before as an option. But as I like got better and better in Spanish, learned more and more about Mexican culture, and then like visited, it was like a culmination. I realized that I could see myself living here. That's a good vocabulary word also, culmination. It's like the, when a bunch of things add together, and it's like the point, like the, what do you call it? Like the climax of a story, right? It's the highest or most climactic point of something, especially if something is attained after a long time. So all of these things were building up, and then I was in Mexico City and I said, yeah, I could live here. So I returned to the US and I was like, you know what? I want to do it. I want to move to Mexico. So the other thing that I should mention is that during that time, I had like a boring job, right? So I had this boring like office job. And, you know, my passions in life growing up were always, always, always languages and art. Apart from being an English teacher and like Spanish speaker and all of that stuff, I am also an artist. I don't do it really as much lately because my other hobbies have taken over my life. And I think I mentioned before, I have like way too many hobbies, but I've always been an artist. I like to paint and draw. And these days I do like digital art. And there've been times in my life where I took it really seriously and even thought about going to art school. But anyways, like the point is like all my life, my interests were always art and languages. And I think that like, I don't know, the society I was growing up in the US at that time, coming from like kind of a lower class family, my parents didn't go to university. Neither of them actually graduated high school. I didn't have any siblings, so I didn't have anyone really in my immediate family who had been to university. So my experience with that was that it was like, oh, those are your two passions? Great. Those are not ways to make money. So I just kind of had it in my mind, like you can't really make a living being an artist or with anything related to languages, you know, because I guess I also thought that the only way to have a job related to languages was being a teacher. And I saw the way the students in my high school French class were so freaking mean to our French teacher. And I was like, I could never do that. I could never stand in front of a bunch of kids and talk about something that I love, like something that I am super passionate about, and have them just like basically shit on it, right? So I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And also artists don't make money, so like I have to do something else. So that's how I ended up getting a business degree and working in my boring office job. So around this time when I was like, you know, I think I want to move to Mexico, I also thought, you know, this will be like an opportunity to change my job at the same time. Around this time, kind of before the idea entered my mind to move to Mexico, I knew I wanted to make like a big career change in my life because I wanted to be happier in my career. I didn't like hate my boring job, but it was just boring. So I wrote a list of possible jobs I would like to do. And they were based on things like what makes me feel satisfied in work. And one of those things is like interacting with people who are happy to be interacting with me. Like my students, my English students, like they choose to be in a lesson with me. You know, I wanted to be talking with people who were happy about it. So I made this list and I think there was like 8 different jobs on the list. But yes, ESL teacher was one of them. And so, yeah, I decided I was going to try to like save a lot of money, enough money to have a cushion. In English, we can often say
We can refer to money as a cushion when it's like, or a safety net. We can say that we have money that is a cushion or a safety net. And that's when you have a certain amount of money saved up so that if something happened, if you lost your job, if you didn't have income, that money would cover your living expenses. So I decided I wanted to save up money to have a cushion and then move to Mexico without a job and figure it out. So that was my plan. And that plan was formed at the beginning of 2021. But as you know, there was a global pandemic. So I decided, you know what? I am going to do this, but I'm going to wait until I get vaccinated. This was like before the vaccines had come out fully. I don't know if I should really even be talking about this because like I feel like lately on Spotify, I see like a little warning message next to episodes saying if this has any information about COVID, you know, I don't know. Anyways, also, I'm not here to debate about vaccines at all. If you don't agree with them, I really don't care. You shouldn't write me about it. I'm not here to argue is my point. So that's what I decided to do. I decided, okay, I'm going to move to Mexico, but, you know, vaccine availability is different in Mexico versus the United States. So I said, okay, I'm going to stay here in the U.S. until I get vaccinated. So during that time, I moved to Colorado. This was like super unexpected. I went to visit a friend in Colorado who was like living there temporarily. And I spent 1 week in Colorado and I loved it. I loved it. It was amazing. And so the place that my friend was working, you can't live in the houses there unless you're an employee. And so I was like, can you talk to your boss and see if there's any job I can do here? Because I have to stay. I love it here. And so I flew back to Georgia on my flight. I already had, you know, booked. And then a week later, I moved to Colorado. I moved to Colorado and I worked as a dishwasher at a ski resort, at the restaurant at the ski resort. And that was during kind of still the winter, like it was still snowy and all of that. And then during the summer, this ski resort, and I think probably like most ski resorts, they stay open as mountain bike resorts for people to go up the hill and then ride their bikes down. And they hold weddings, right? Because you have the beautiful Rocky Mountains there in the background. So I stayed for the summer as well and got promoted and worked as a cook for like, I don't know, 7 months in Colorado. And it was such a beautiful and amazing experience. So beautiful and amazing, in fact, that I almost considered not moving to Mexico because of it. I had this whole plan, like, yeah, I'm going to save X amount of money and I'm going to do this and that and that, and then I'm going to move to Mexico, blah, blah, blah. But I loved Colorado so much, I was like, do I still want to go to Mexico? So then during that summer, like I said, 2021, I planned a trip to come here to Mexico City to, like, you know, take a trip, see my friend who lived here, hang out, you know, see if I still felt the same way. So I came to Mexico City and like the first day of the trip, I was like, yeah, I want to be here. Like, it's just a big, fun, exciting city, you know? And also if you're learning another language, I think you know how it feels like when you really finally get to use that language and really use it, you know, like out of necessity and really be successful with it. It's like such a good feeling. It's like, I've really done something, you know? So yes, I decided to move to Mexico after all. And then in like September 2021, I moved to Mexico City and I've been here ever since. And I have also been an English teacher basically ever since. I got here to Mexico and my friend Luis, who used to be my Spanish teacher on italki, he was like, come on, just make an account on italki. Like, just make a teacher account, you know, just do it. And I was like, well, okay. Because it was one of the things I was considering doing anyways. And I started and I got accepted and I loved it. I mean, I really, really love being an English teacher. So that's like my life story. That's why I moved to Mexico, how I learned a language, how I decided to come to Mexico, and stuff about me. What else? Sometimes people ask me, because I say that I'm interested in languages, how many languages I speak. And it is only two, English and Spanish. And I think that's because when I was in high school, I studied French
for 3 years. And then in the last year of high school, I decided to take Spanish at the same time. And it was really difficult. I would mix them up all the time. Like I would walk into French class, start taking the class, whatever, and open my mouth and like Spanish would come out. And also the reverse in Spanish class, I would open my mouth and speak French, you know? And so I guess I sort of have this kind of like hang up. Hang up is a good vocabulary word. It's like when you have some kind of like mental thing that kind of prevents you from doing something. It's like it hangs you up. It's like an emotional problem or inhibition. It's like some people have hangups about their age or some people have hangups about something. It's like when you hesitate to do something because you have like a kind of a block. That's the word I was looking for. It's like a mental block about something. So I guess you could say I have like a hang up about trying to learn a third language because somehow I fear that I will ruin my Spanish if I do it. Like I would kind of like to learn Portuguese, but I feel like if I start, then when I'm speaking Spanish, I'm going to end up accidentally speaking Portuguese and vice versa. So yeah, for now I only speak two languages, and also like I'm pretty interested in maybe one day studying linguistics. And yeah, I think a lot of people who are linguistics, they get asked all the time, oh, you're a linguist? How many languages do you speak? And it's like, haha, it's not about that. Like linguistics as a field of study is about the study of languages. Like how do languages form and evolve? How do languages impact the way that we see the world, the way that we think? And I find that stuff extremely interesting. So that's why maybe one day I would like to study it. About my Spanish learning journey, I kind of want to share a little bit about that because I think it could be useful in, you know, how you could apply it to learning English. I watched a TED Talk which said that when you're learning another language, in the beginning, vocabulary is the most important thing. And they say, they justify this statement. They justify the statement by saying, imagine that you are on the street and a foreigner comes up to you and they need to ask you something. They might say something to you like, search, market, buy, fish, need, right? None of that is grammatically correct. None of the verbs are conjugated, but you know exactly what's going on. You know this person is searching for a market because they need to buy fish, right? And it's because they know the words, even if they don't know the grammar. And ever since I saw that video, I just was like, whoa, dude. And it's like kind of right, you know, like if the way that they teach school, the way that they teach languages in school is very much starting from grammar. It's like 100% starting from this place of grammar, 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 grammar. Like in school, if you start a beginner basic Spanish class, they're going to make you write down all of the personal pronouns. Like, I guess I'll just explain it in English. Like I, you, we, he, she, it, they, them. Or no, they, what else? Oh, I guess that's it. You guys, you plural. And then beside that, you would write, I am, you are, we are, they are, he is, she is, it is. And that would be like the very first class. And then from there, you would just expand outwards like I eat, you eat, they eat, she eats, he eats, it eats, right? And it's like from the first day, they aren't focused on you expanding your vocabulary, but you understanding the grammar. And so in the example that I said of the video where this foreigner says something to you, just totally unconjugated verbs, completely out of order, but with all of the correct words. I agree with the point of this video that in the beginning, vocabulary is more important than grammar. I think learning a language is about being able to communicate in that language. And so by learning a lot of words in the beginning, it's like a shortcut. If you learn a lot of words, even if you're not using them correctly, let's say, even if the grammar is not correct, the other person will understand you, right? And then the other person, if they're your tutor or a friend or something like that, they will correct you. And then you'll learn the grammar naturally. If you memorize a lot of words and then you listen to a podcast and you hear the way that those words change in different grammatical structures, you will start to pick up on them because you'll understand the meaning because you know what the words mean. So I think in that video, they recommended, like, if you are starting from day zero of learning a new language, you should memorize a list of like the 1,000 most common words or like 2,000 most common words or something like that. I haven't watched the video in a long time. I'm actually going to look it up because I remember it because it impacted, like, I don't know, it honestly changed my life, you know, like it really impacted the way that I learned Spanish, but I haven't seen it like since before then. So more than 3 years. So I'm going to look it up and refresh my memory about how the video goes. But anyways, I think that they recommend something like that. So that's exactly what I did. When I was, you know, day one starting to learn Spanish, I went on the internet and I searched 2,000 most common words in Spanish. And I started studying it on Quizlet because I already knew Quizlet because I used it in high school and in university. And it's pretty straightforward. It doesn't really require a lot of setup. But eventually I ended up switching to Anki, which is a much more intelligent application, but it's harder to set up. You have to like go in and add lots of settings. But once you have it figured out, it's amazing because it uses a method called spaced repetition, which means that they only show you the words as frequently as you need to see them, you know? Another thing that really formed my language learning journey was my very first semester in university. I had a really great psychology teacher, and I remember one of the first things that he explained was about studying. He said, okay, you guys are freshmen. I'm going to teach you how to study, and you can use this in this class and all of your other classes. But it was, of course, related to psychology, to what we were learning. And that is that the best way of studying is to force your brain to recall information. And how do you do that? Flashcards and practice exams. So what that means is that if you, let's say they're traditional flashcards, you have your blank index cards, you know, pieces of paper, small pieces of paper that fit in your hand, and you write one word on one side and the other word on the other side, right? And when you look at one side of it and you have to, before you flip the card over, you have to think about the answer and say the answer before you flip the card over. That is the strongest, most efficient way to learn or memorize information. And the reason why is because when you take one stimuli, one thing, one idea, and then force your brain to think of the other thing, there's a pathway in your brain, a neural pathway between these two neurons, which are these two pieces of information. And when you make your brain look for it and search for it, that pathway between these two points in your brain becomes stronger every single time. And so that's why flashcards and practice tests are the best way to learn or memorize information. Of course, like the other methods help, like for example, looking at your notes and rewriting them or reading again something you wrote in class, those kind of things work, of course. But my psychology professor from my freshman year of university said that is the most efficient way to learn because you're making those neural pathways stronger. And so I had that in my mind. And then I remember seeing a video about spaced repetition, which is basically taking this idea of quizzing yourself in order to learn. And it makes it even more efficient because spaced repetition is when a program only shows you information as frequently as you need to know it. So if I use the Anki app to study vocabulary words in English, if I see the flashcard, and before I flip it over digitally, before I click the button to flip the card and see the answer, if I know the answer immediately, and it's very easy for me, when I click on it and it shows me the answer, I can click the word easy to tell the app that this word was easy for me. And this app will say, okay, we're not going to show you this word for 3 weeks. Let's see what happens. Then when you see this word in 3 weeks and you say, easy, got it. The app's going to say something like, okay, well, now we're not going to show you this card for, I don't know, 2 months. Let's see what happens. And in 2 months, if that word is still easy for you, the app is just going to make that amount of time before you see that word again longer and longer and longer. And that's amazing because you don't need to waste your time studying things that you already know, right? That's why I have a little bit of beef with Duolingo. This is a very colloquial expression to say to have beef with. And yes, beef, B-E-E-F, like the meat of cows. In English, in American English, very frequently we say to have beef with means to have a problem with. So I have a little bit of beef with Duolingo. I think that Duolingo makes you review the same information that you probably already know over and over and over again. And I think this is a really inefficient way to learn. And so that's why I started with my list of 2,000 most common words in Spanish, originally on Quizlet, and then I learned how to use Anki, and it was like a game changer. I mean, if it weren't for Anki, I don't know how I would have learned Spanish as quickly as I did, because I started with this list of 2,000 words. I got like a good bit of them like memorized. And you know, I think in the language learning community, kind of myself included, there's a bit of like a negative connotation, a negative viewpoint about memorizing. Because even on my own YouTube channel, I talk all the time about like, yes, learn English in context, learn in context, learn in context. And like, yes, we should definitely learn in context. But when you're, if you're listening to this podcast, this doesn't apply to you, because if you're listening to this podcast, you're not a beginner. But if you are a beginner in a new language, I think it's totally valid to memorize a list of 1,000 words or 2,000 words to get like a baseline started. You know, you start with those building blocks and then you can start learning how to put them into place in order to form sentences. And then once that, like that 1,000 words or 2,000 words, that's like the first step. And once you've taken the first step, everything else you can learn in context. But I think it's totally fine to memorize words in the beginning to get going, you know, to get some momentum. So anyways, that's what I did. I memorized these words through drilling, you know, like flashcards on my phone. And then I started with like a pretty basic grammar book. And I read like the first 6 chapters and then I stopped, because at that point, I was kind of able to have conversations, and then like the book became boring to me, which is a good sign that you're advancing. If you're reading like a grammar book or something and it becomes boring to you, it's like, okay, you've already reached a certain level where you can interact with more interesting material, and that's a sign that you should. So then once I reached that level where I realized I could have like kind of basic conversations in like the present tense, I started taking lessons on italki. And then everything else I learned in context. But I did study it using Anki. So for example, my Anki set for Spanish would be full of things like full sentences that someone said, you know? So like maybe one day my Spanish teacher said something like, yes, you learn to appreciate those kind of things. And I would write that down and then write down the part in Spanish and then put that in my Anki set and then study it. And I do recommend once you're no longer a beginner, when you're a beginner, you can study like loose words. But when you're not a beginner anymore, if you're going to study using something like Anki, I recommend studying like phrases instead of just loose words, right? So like something that someone says and you think, huh, that's interesting. Like the word order, right? Like that, I don't know if I would have said it the same way. You can write that down and put it in your Anki set. And I think it's good to study those things, because if you repeat that sentence, that phrase to yourself over and over with a particular word order, later you will be able to apply that same word order when you're making your own sentences. So yeah, that's a little bit about, oh, I should mention that once I got into what I would consider the intermediate stage, podcasts like totally took over my life, podcasts and YouTube. So I would just like put on YouTube and listen like infinitely. And I always listen to like comprehensible input type stuff. So basically exactly what this podcast is, which is just someone, maybe one person alone or two people together, basically just rambling in Spanish, right? And the point of this, which I've already talked about in the intro of this podcast, is about comprehensible input. It's about having the language go into your mind and like absorb the rhythm of the language and naturally be able to replicate it. You know, being like speaking, like producing the language, speaking the language is incredibly, incredibly important. But I think listening to the language is just slightly more important. The more that you listen, the more time, the more hours you spend listening to English, the more that your English, your spoken English, like you speaking English, will naturally improve without that much effort on your part. Because certain things, like when you listen to a lot of English, then when it's your turn and it's time to speak, certain things will just sound right or sound wrong. And you don't even know why. You'll just be like, if I say this like this, it sounds wrong. Like if I say, I need to put up it. You'll be like, to put up it? Huh. No, I think it should be put it up. I think it should be put it up. And you don't really know why put it up sounds correct and put up it doesn't sound correct. You don't really know why, if there's like a specific rule or something, but something about it just sounds wrong to say put up it, and something about it just sounds right to say put it up. And that's exactly that's the magic of listening to podcasts in English. The more you listen, the more you will just develop this sort of like natural intuition for the way that the language sounds without having to study. So it's sort of like a hack in more than one way, because I think podcasts are really fun. Like I enjoy listening to them. I don't really get bored with it. It's like, it's just like chatting with a friend. Like it's fun. I love listening to podcasts, and I can do it anytime. Like I can do it anytime, you know, it's like very easy to do. It's not like, you know, with studying, sometimes it feels like this task, you know what I mean? If you're like, okay, I have to study, it means you have to like, I don't know, like be in your room or something and like take out your laptop and your notebook and your pen and kind of like, you know, like get yourself into like this kind of like study mode and like do certain things, right? And so it feels like there's a high barrier to starting. And so therefore it's like hard to do. But with a podcast, it's like literally almost no barrier to starting. You just like put in your earphones and press play. So not only can podcasts, you know, you can listen to them anytime, but it's like, so it doesn't feel hard. It doesn't feel like studying English. But the results are amazing. So you can do it all of this time. And then like in your English, you start to notice like, wow, like I kind of just feel like this sounds wrong or this sounds right. And I don't know why. And suddenly like you're talking with someone in English and then you kind of like say a sentence and you think, ooh, that sentence sounded very eloquent. Where did I hear that expression before? And you don't know. If you don't know, it probably came from podcasts because you just heard it somehow subconsciously, especially if you manage to hear it repeated, like if you listen to one episode more than one time, or if you're the person hosting the podcast repeats things. Yeah, you'll just absorb the language naturally and then be able to produce it naturally. So yeah, that's a little bit about how I learned Spanish and what I think about how someone should learn a language. By the way, I just want to say sorry about like my voice. I just got back to Mexico City from being on vacation, and it immediately gave me allergies because Mexico City kind of has like a lot of, doesn't have the best air quality. So I got back and like immediately got a cough, and now my nose is like a little bit stuffed up. So like my voice sounds different than normal. So if you've noticed that, sorry about that. I notice it for sure, especially because like I was sitting at my desk when I started recording, but then there was some dogs barking outside, which was kind of loud. So I came here to my bedroom, and then I was sitting on my bed, and then I leaned back. And now that I leaned back, it's like
suddenly I sound more congested, like my nose, like my voice sounds more nasally now that I leaned back. So sorry about that. I wish my voice sounded normal while I record my first episode of my podcast, but that is not the situation. And that's kind of makes me think of something interesting, which is about perfectionism. My voice is really raspy right now, and I sound kind of like funny compared to normal. And it's like, okay, do I wish that I didn't sound like this while recording this podcast? Yes. But I decided to, you know, like, okay, I wish I didn't sound like that to record my podcast. So I could have decided to wait to record the podcast. I could have, that's a useful construction. It's how to talk about something that could have been different in the past. So I could have decided, could plus have in the present tense, plus the past participle of the main verb. I could have decided, I could have talked, I could have run, I could have done. So I could have decided to wait to record the podcast, to wait until my voice was normal again. But I decided not to, because I think a lot of the times I am like very much a perfectionist, and I don't really want to put anything out into the world unless it's perfect in my opinion. So this has definitely been true with like YouTube videos. So then I end up like waiting a really long time and like never publishing anything at all. And I realized that about myself, and that's why I started to try to do things differently. So if you go on my YouTube channel, well, I'm recording this podcast today on February the 3rd, and I have like 4 YouTube videos that are ready, but they're scheduled to publish, so they will come out on every Saturday in February. Anyways, like at least 2 of these videos, my voice sounds like super raspy because I was sick. I just had like really terrible allergies. It sucks. But anyways, yeah, like do I wish my voice wasn't raspy in these videos? Yes. But if I wait, I don't know. Like, I guess in general, if we wait for the conditions to be perfect to do something, we'll be waiting forever, right? If I wait for my voice to be nice and for me to have a good hair day and for my neighbors to be quiet and for the lighting to be perfect and for me to have more free time, if I waited for all of those things before I recorded a YouTube video, I would like never record a video. And so that's why I decided to just record the video anyways, even if my voice is raspy. And that's why I decided to just record this podcast anyways, even if my voice is raspy. So yeah, sorry about my raspy voice, but I'm trying to get over my perfectionism. So bear with me. That's a useful phrase, to bear with me. That's like, let's see. I say bear with me. That's like a very, very common expression, which means please be patient with me. Bear is the verb to bear. It's kind of like to support or to endure. And so the phrase is bear with me. So yeah, just bear with me while my voice is like this. I think I have talked probably for a pretty long time now. So I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. But this is why I think I can maybe do this. This is why I think maybe I can have a podcast, especially for like what I want to do. I like the point of the podcast is just to talk and, you know, in English. So you guys are exposed to it, right? But I am just so talkative and I just like come up with so much crap. Like I start talking about one thing and then I like get on, you know, I go off on a tangent. That's a useful phrase, to go off on a tangent. That means like you're talking about one thing and then like you just go off on like this long speech about something else. So I end up talking about one thing and then I go off on a tangent and talk about something else. And I can just like talk to myself for a long time. So that's why I think a podcast might be doable for me, right? Also, speaking of talking to yourself, here I am doing it again, going off and talking about something else because I made myself think of something. Haha. Anyways, speaking of talking to yourself and how I am very good at it, I can talk to myself for a long time. That's also
a major language learning key. I think you should talk to yourself if you want to learn a language. If you're learning English, talk to yourself. Oh my gosh, even if you are talking with a language tutor, even if you take English classes, when you're not in class, talk to yourself, please. Like if you are not talking to yourself, you're missing out on a major way to study, right? Because when you're talking to yourself, you can just be oh, la la la, I'm thinking about my day. Oh, okay, now I'm gonna go to the kitchen and I'm gonna do this and da 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 da. And you know what? I think I'm gonna go outside. Let me check the weather and see if I need to wear a jacket. And oh, what is the word for that thing we put on our neck? And then because you're thinking to yourself, you go on your phone and search, what is the name for that thing we put on our neck? And you say, scarf. Ah, a scarf. And you learn a new word. And that's also learning in context. So anyways, if you don't talk to yourself in English, please start. You will be impressed with how much it will improve your English. Anyways, I think I have probably talked to myself enough for today. I would be shocked and amazed, honestly, if anyone listens to this podcast all the way to the end, or honestly at all. I don't know if people are really even going to listen to this, but I loved listening to podcasts to help me learn my Spanish, and I haven't found a lot of English podcasts that I like. I haven't found any really that I like to recommend to my students, so I decided to make one. So if you've made it to the end of this episode, wow, congrats. But no, seriously, congratulations. If you managed to listen to the end of this episode, that means that your English is going to be fabulous because, listening to podcasts is like the magic key to learning English and learning languages and being awesome. So congratulations. Please subscribe to my newsletter and my YouTube channel and this podcast. And thank you for listening. If you have any feedback or comments or anything, you can send me an email at hello@meredithspielman.com. Thanks. See you in the next episode.